I want to begin by relating to you one of my favorite movies, which was originally British and is called Seven Waves Away, or 7 days from now, and they brought it to America, and the American director said, oh, no, 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 we're going to get right to the heart of this. The name of the movie will now be Abandoned Ship. It's like, whoa, you know, that sounds like a better title. And it was made in black and white, even though it was in 1957, so that's kind of like the end of the black and white era, as I call it, and stars one of my favorite old-time actors, Tyrone Power. The story is based on a short story, the movie is based on a short story, and the short story in turn is based on a real incident that happened in 1841 when an American ship called the William Brown was 250 miles away from Newfoundland and sank. And there were some survivors that got on a longboat, and then they had some adventures out there, and those adventures and what happened are then translated to the movie. In the movie, it is a modern-day ship that hits a mine and blows up. It had 1,156 people on board. The ship sank, but 27 survived, and there was only one lifeboat. And so a lot of them get into the boat, and the ones, and once they reach capacity, then the others have life preservers, and they float in the ocean and hang on to the ship. And after a certain amount of time, then they switch places to keep it, you know, to make it fair. Well, time passes, and now they're running out of what little rations they have. And Tyrone Power, who is the one of the commanding people from the staff, says, my duty in any kind of situation of this nature, shipwreck or whatever, is to save as many lives as possible. As it is, we will all perish. But I can save some lives if we put all of the infirm, the sick, and the weak in life preservers and hand them over to the mercy of God, and they will float on the ocean. The rest of us who are younger and stronger are going to row like crazy. We are 1,500 miles away from the coast of Africa. And they got no choice because he's got a flare gun to ensure that this is that his orders are going to be carried out, and they are. So they go through the night, and the next morning he looks up, and out of the fog comes this big ship, and looks up along the railing, and there are all of the passengers that were in life preservers. A ship came along and saw somebody floating in the ocean and picked that person up and then said, oh, there's another one, and just followed the line of people and picked them all up. And just beyond the line, you know, way out there was the boat, and so everybody was saved. Let me think. There were 27, and he ordered 14 to the mercy of God on the ocean. Tyrone Power is the last one to climb the rope ladder up onto the ship, and there across the screen of the movie, it says, innocent or guilty? And then there's a voiceover that comes right at the end to tell you what happened. They took him back to England to stand trial. The judges did their lawful thing, and that is to look through all the annals of maritime law to see how did they prosecute cases like this in the past. And they couldn't find any. This had never happened before. There was no precedent for this instance. Now, what are they going to do? This has got to be one of those times that just must drive lawyers nuts, if not the jury. How do you determine guilt or innocence or anything else in between? I love movies like that because it's a real challenge to our sense of morality. Very fundamental human values are brought to bear. Values that we learn from the Bible, that we learn from church, that we learn from our parents and others. And now we have a situation, and we have to make a decision What do you do? I had an argument at my very first church with a woman who came to me, and we were talking, and she said, well, there's absolutely nothing new under the sun. And by that she meant all the incidents of life have been, exposed, and answers to those have been given, and you can find it all in the Bible. And there's nothing new. And me, having just come out of seminary and was really up to date on the latest theology, I said to her, it's exactly the opposite. There is always some element of newness and novelty in every moment of life that we live. No situation is exactly like some other incident in the past. It's always a little different, or maybe a lot different. If I had thought about it, I would have said, go home and watch this movie. But I didn't think of it at the time. There's a passage in the letter to the Hebrews that says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And certainly we would agree that God's law and God's word is eternal and unchanging. And that's why we can trust it. Well, that might be true, but there are still incidents that arise in our lives that are really sticky situations. And we see them in movies, and we see them on the daily soap operas. What do you do in this case? Are they doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Or just like Jack Schwartz here in town, I advertise his law firm. The law is not all black and white. There are always shades of gray. Remember those commercials? There are always these incidents that challenge our understanding of the law as well as our understanding of God's will. So how do we decide? Well, let me give you some examples. Let's look at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have eight that are negative and specific. If you look at the last one, you shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's female slaves, male slaves, your neighbor's ox, your neighbor's donkey, and then it says, and anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Very specific. Let's go to the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not murder. It used to be kill, but in modern language, it's now been changed to murder. And so what are the specifics like the one about coveting? Nothing. Thou shalt not murder. That's it. And yet, as I think about that, there are five areas in which we make exceptions. Obviously, war. Second would be when we decide that a particular person has committed so many heinous acts, they are a danger to us, they are dangerous to himself, and we decide that that publicly he needs to be executed, and so we execute him by one of various means. Another area would be abortion. You don't find that in the Bible, and it is a controversial subject. Are we killing babies or not? That's the crux of the matter. And then it gets metaphysical. Well, when does the soul enter the body? At conception, at birth, and it becomes very, very complicated. And then there's euthanasia, in which we decide to help a person no longer suffer tremendous amounts of pain and find ways to help them pass over into another life. And finally, there's suicide or even assisted suicide, the Jack Kevorkian style. The commandment says, thou shalt not murder. That's it. We are the ones who have come up with all the exceptions to get around that sort of thing. We have constitutional amendments. Oh, I should mention the other two commandments are positive, but they're general. Honor your father and mother. Well, how do I do that? It's up to you. Figure it out. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How do I do that? Well, I go to worship. And what are you going to do with the rest of your day? It's up to you. Keep it holy. If we look at the amendments of the Constitution, those are also positive. You have the right to And yet, even there, we have come up with exceptions. I Googled all the amendments one day. This would be an interesting thing for you to do. About half of the amendments have exceptions. They're not written in there, but we have come up with exceptions. You have the right to freedom of speech. Not completely. Can't yell fire in an enclosed room. Can't go out on the street corner and incite a crowd of people to go riot. You cannot speak absolute falsehoods against somebody. That would be slander. You can't print it. That'd be liable. And for those kinds of freedoms where people have really pushed it to the nth degree, we have had to invent censorship to protect the young against some of those kinds of things. What about the Second Amendment? That's a hot item issue right now. It was a hot item issue when I started my career, and has been a hot item issue ever since. What do we do about the right to bear arms versus an epidemic of mass shootings? It's a knotty problem, and we've got to figure out something, and it's going to have to require an exception that's acceptable to the American people. Now, what I'm pointing out is true of all of us. This is the kind of thing that drives parents nuts about their kids and drove our parents nuts when we were kids. Rules are laid down. These are the rules of behavior in the home. What do the kids do? I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do. I want to exercise my will. And so little kids begin figuring out a way to get around dad's rules or to break them. And as the years go on and they grow up, old rules have to be put aside. New rules have to be established because they've come up with a new game plan. And on into the teenage years, I raised three boys, so I know. And on into adulthood. And we have to establish laws for our community, our state, our nation. And the attempt to get around the rules, break the law, causes some people to end up in the areas of criminality and all of us to commit sin of one kind or another. This is who we are. This is what we do from little kids on up. And that's why the exceptions to commandments and amendments and so on. In the scripture today, well, before I get to the scripture, there were two incidents in which this really can be seen as to a possible solution, shall we say. You remember the two incidents when Jesus and the disciples are strolling and they're hungry. So they gather up grain from the nearby field so that they can make that into food. Oh, no, 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 no. It's not that they gathered the grain, they did it on the Sabbath. The Pharisees had a fit. You don't do that on the Sabbath, that's work. But they're hungry, they need food. There's another incident when Jesus speaks the words of life and heals somebody. Oh, no, 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 you did that on the Sabbath. Jesus' answer is, the Sabbath was made for humans, not humans for the Sabbath. The laws were made for limitations and boundaries on our behavior and our desires. We were not made to be a nation of law abiders. We are made to create goodness within limitations and boundaries. And so we come to today's scripture where Jesus gives us two commandments. And he didn't make these up. Both of them are found in scripture. The first one was to love God with all your heart and mind and soul. That's from Deuteronomy 6. And the second like it is to love your neighbor as yourself, which you'll find in the 19th chapter of Leviticus. And then comes the final thing he says. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the words of the prophets. These two commandments are statements of love. He's asking us to open ourselves to all of the supreme values we gain from Scripture or our own personal experience with God. And then to share those equally with our fellow humans. So we will always be facing new situations, all the issues of the coming election, the issue of global warming, what are we going to do about our planet? Because some of those issues are unprecedented. We've never faced them before. What are we going to do? We need to face those situations in the spirit of love and acceptance and bring about what is best for all who are involved. An excellent example of that is the end of that movie. Tyrone Power climbs the rope ladder and it says, innocent or guilty? They took him back to England. They tried him. They couldn't find any precedent. They didn't know what to do, so they said, he's guilty. By putting those people out to sea. Do we execute him? Do we put him in jail for the rest of his life? For many, 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 many years to come? They said because of the extremely unusual circumstances and that his heart was in the right place, and that is the law of the Navy at the time, you save as many souls as you can. We're going to send him to jail for 6 months. That's it. Beautiful compromise. The future will continue to be full of situations that have no precedent. Let us face it in the spirit of love that Christ has shown us. Amen.